Welcome to CMC Radio. I'm your host, Rob May, and joining me today is Amity Buxton of the Straight Spouse Network. Amity, welcome back. How you doing?
Thanks, Rob. I'm bad. Glad to be back.
Very good. Glad to hear it. And I'm, of course, I'm excited to have you back on. For the last bunch of episodes now, we've been discussing the amazing work that you provided for people in very, you know, extreme circumstances. The Straight Spouse Network, you know, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, the organization, and how it all came to be?
Okay, sure. Well, I started back in New England with all that business of, aren't we wonderful, we revolted against the British, and aren't we marvelous. And then I went to a wonderful school in New York, which was just really professional, really kind of college prep, but it was a public school. So when I went to college for the first time, I didn't realize it was segregated. When I got to college, I met my first black person, and I met my first Jewish person, and wow, my world opened. And then my first job was in Detroit, and I arrived on Labor Day, and there were speeches about labor unions. I thought, my goodness, I haven't seen the world. So from then on, I kept breaking through new frontiers of experience out at San Francisco. I was teaching at San Francisco State when the desegregation all started, and I had worked with, of all things, the Junior League, which was terribly community involved in San Francisco, which was a very diverse city, so I was already doing that stuff. Anyway, when my husband came out in 1984, or three, I guess it was, I thought, okay, here's another parcel of the universe that I haven't known yet. So I decided that we were kind of, the big news was my husband's coming out, which at that time still had to be hidden, had to be closeted. I wasn't supposed to tell anybody. I thought, well, you know, there are probably a lot of us, and so why don't I collect some stories and I'll write a book. So I wrote The Other Side of the Closet, The Coming Out Crisis for Straight Spouses and Families, so that people out there could realize there's another side to the story, and these straight spouses, which by then I realized were, through research, they numbered at least 2 million, they'd know they weren't alone. So one of the people I interviewed had started a task force with an organization called PFLAG, Parents and Friends of Lesbians and Gays. She'd started this task force for straight spouses. So mm-hmm. when, after the book was published, she said, Amity, why don't you just take it over? So I did, and I, because of my work with changing schools and desegregating schools, I did it through a network configuration, not a hierarchical one. I decided, I'll start the Straight Spouse Network.
Wow.
It's a long answer to your questions.
Sure, sure. But, I mean, again, you know, the way that you took, you know, the situation in front of you and really turned it into something positive for not only yourself, I'm sure, too, but, you know, countless amounts of people at this point across the globe, really. I mean, I know that mm-hmm. over the past episodes we've discussed where you guys have actually reached out to now at this point, and you know, have support groups all over the world.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And contacts, individual contacts. So any spouse who's listening anywhere can find somebody to talk with and realize he or she is not alone.
And really, I mean, in your experience, you know, why don't you just share with us just the few of the most common questions that people come to you guys with, you know, when this fall first happens?
Well, when they find us, they say, good heavens, I'm not alone. What do I do? Where do I go? How do I get through this? Can the marriage be saved? Most of all, they can't even formulate a question. It's, oh, my God, I found somebody who knows where I am. it's really extraordinary. One of the things I was going to mention later, but I love it. It fits right now. She said, mm-hmm. one of the hardest questions, this is in my second book, one of the hardest questions from other people that I've had to answer numerous times over the past 10 years was, how could you not have known?
Right.
In essence, the person is asking, how could you be so stupid? My answer is, if a person doesn't want you to know, they will do everything within their power to keep you from knowing. So you do feel pretty stupid. And I remember when I called my, I found my gay husband looked up resources for me, which was really wonderful. One of the support groups, the leader, when I called her to find out when the meetings were, she said, "Now, just be prepared. There'll be nobody there with two heads." In other words, I was normal.
Right. Absolutely. And, I mean, it's, I'm sure in your experience, too, that is something that you have to stress to people every day. And you see it in every demographic. There's no particular type of person that this happens to. It can just happen to anyone at any moment, really. And for your own experience, were there things that you put blinders on to that kept you from seeing how your husband really, you know, what your husband was keeping from you?
Well, it wasn't really blinder. It's more like looking in a rear-view mirror and you see everything. It didn't cross my mind when he took early retirement that he was taking ice skating lessons and changing his wardrobe to wear Lacoste shirts and this bikini bathing suits and stuff like that. Yeah, so, okay, he's just exploring.
Right.
I didn't raise any questions. Later, I could figure it out.
Absolutely. And when someone comes to you and says, you know, what is the mission of the Straight Spouse Network? What would you say in a couple of words to describe that?
The mission is helping you cope constructively so that you can understand that you can feel that you're a valued person and you can move on in your life with or without your partner, because about a sixth of the people do end up staying with their partners. They can work it out. But it's all coping constructively and healing yourself and finding who you are again so that you can move forward.
Right. Of course. And in terms of, I'm checking out the website right now, and it's straightspouse.org. And again, so everyone knows, this is a totally not-for-profit organization. And, I mean, on the website, really, you can see so many different ways to get involved and reach out to you guys. You know, I see the list of questions that it asks, even in the frequently asked questions section, about emotional questions, medical questions, legal, and questions concerning faith and questions concerning children. I mean, there's so much that goes into this entire scenario. You know, how do you try to keep people from getting overwhelmed? I mean, what are some of the go-to things that you really try to push into people to really let them know, like, aside from they're not alone, you're going to get through it?
Well, you help them focus on their own strengths, who they are, start from scratch, build up their ability to trust themselves, because here the person they trusted the most in the world betrayed them for however long a time, not deliberately to hurt them, but they were hurt. So just take them and help them. You suggest things like keeping a journal and calling, if they go find a support, calling somebody, talk to other people. Just go slowly, find your feet again, because this is like a nightmare. The rug is pulled out. Nothing you thought was real, that you feel, that nothing's left that's real. Of course, there's tons of things left, but you can't say that to people. Just say, take your time.
Right.
How do you feel? Call me if you need me.
And really, I mean, I know people lose their self-value, and we've gone over the various singular issues that really, I think people probably don't understand why they're feeling certain things and what it is as far as the straight spouse is concerned. I mean, the sexual identity becomes an issue for them, I'm sure. And you have children and marriage, and again, that identity, it all just kind of feels under attack, right?
Yeah, right. And the first thing I know we spent our first sessions on this these radio shows talking about the issues, and so you've just gone through them all. That you better get the reality of, okay, what's my sexuality? Did he turn gay because I wasn't sexy enough, or will anybody ever love me? And a lot of people feel sexually starved, and they go mm-hmm. berserk trying to find out about sexuality and going out and doing stupid things, dating
right.
lots and lots of people and just trying to prove to themselves. And what about the marriage and you say the self-image? It's really pretty scary. And so you asked how it worked. The same person that I quoted to you before, saying that people kept asking, how could you be so stupid? She said, and this answers your second question, my healing process did not happen overnight. I discovered the more I shared with others, the lighter my burden became, and my fear began to subside. Paul waited a year before coming out to our daughter. By the time he told her, she'd figured it out. We took her to counseling to help her cope with the separation and eventual divorce. So it takes time. It just takes time. And then with the kids,
Absolutely. It
was hard. She was a Christian school and didn't feel comfortable. The little girl didn't feel comfortable talking to anybody. And but they did. They kept doing. It's a continuing healing.
Mm-hmm.
You're never really over it.
Right. And in terms of certain things or aspects of sexuality. Now, for what I'm trying to gather is there an element that basically, there's an element of these situations where the man or the woman is bisexual and, it's a matter of who they're attracted to at that moment?
And usually bisexuals break down to more attracted to one than the other. There's nobody that's mm-hmm. 50-50.
Right.
So if your husband is bisexual or your wife is bisexual and they fall in love with someone, that doesn't mean that their marriage has to break apart. That's going to be the only one. Doesn't mean he's not attracted to you. And
mm-hmm.
There's a lot of bisexuals who work out staying married. Gays and lesbians too, but it's a little easier for the bisexuals.
And does that
and then
all
again,
fall into place? I'm sorry,
mm-hmm.
go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say that the whole business of relationship, it's the relationship quality, which includes sexuality.
Right.
And
sure.
it's what happens with these couples, because our mission also is to help couples trying to stay together, is
mm-hmm.
as they work through this with mutual respect and they listen to each other and they speak honestly, they commune and so forth and so on, they develop a very deep bond. Whether or not they stay together, but if they do, then it's, I think, in many cases, better than some heterosexual marriages because they've had to work through so many differences honestly.
Mm-hmm. And is there a particular process behind evaluating the circumstances in front of the straight spouse?
Well, they aren't evaluating it. They're opening their eyes to it. And so they have to... Okay, all right, here I am. He's left or he's come out.
Mm-hmm.
You have to sort of have to start looking around, describe the circumstances you're in, see the effects on you and the kids and the marriage from the coming out, look ahead to possibilities, just face all, right now, face it, like the Buddhist, face now,
mm-hmm.
the present, and get to the point. Oh, it is different.
Right.
The other part of it, though, that I have to counsel spouses on is just because it's different now doesn't mean that what you had before was unreal. If you were happy then, you were happy then. That's fine. It's not going to change. Those things
mm-hmm.
you did together that were wonderful, they were real. Don't throw them out. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Mm-hmm. Right, and I'm sure that people probably, once this occurs, they're probably doubting everything that
absolutely.
Is in the past.
Absolutely, absolutely. And my husband was very, very kind when after he left. He sent me flowers and said, I'm so sorry my love wasn't strong enough.
Mm-hmm.
To overcome who I was.
And I mean, for you, though, would you really want him to to say anything else aside from that. I mean, you know, you wouldn't want him to fake any longer who he was, right?
Well, the way he came out to me was he said, I jilted my gay lover to marry you because I was a good Catholic and I was promised happiness. Then
right.
When he left, he said, I did not get the happiness I was promised.
Hmm.
But he was
yeah,
miserable when he left. So, you know, he'd become further and further apart, realizing that he couldn't live this way anymore.
Wow. But, I mean, it's still, I mean, how old were you when this happened?
Late 50s.
Late 50s. And you didn't feel like, I mean, I'm sure you did feel some sense of, you know, being overwhelmed or anything, but did you personally feel like, what am I going to do now? You know, I just spent all this time married to one person that wasn't who he said he was.
You don't think that in such big terms. You're just kind of shocked. Oh, my gosh. And you
mm-hmm.
have to go through chapter and verse, parse
yep.
each thing that happened. Oh, I see. Oh, so you relive and, oh, that's why. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. And then what about me? What has it done to my sexuality? Am I accommodating
right.
him all these years? What have I given up? That's where we get into all those issues that you and I have
sure.
talked about before.
Absolutely.
Let's see. One of the things is your self-image, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And who am I? Who am I? If I've been living in someone else's closet and going according to his script, then maybe I'm not real.
Mm-hmm.
So that I have a story in the first book, The Other Side of the Closet, by a pilot. And
mm-hmm.
He felt so lonely, and he wanted to date, but it's been years since I pursued women, so he went to a men's support group, and it seemed like an obvious source of help, he writes. At the end of our next session, I announced, looking around the circle, I'd like to go out on a blind date. Could any of you give me a phone number? No. 8 guys faced me saying, no, Dan, we won't give you any phone numbers. You're pathetic acting and pathetic looking. I went out to my car and cried. The next day, I joined the local gym and began exercising. It was the start of an uphill climb still in progress 6 years later.
Wow.
That's how you feel. She said, I was a pathetic
yep.
jerk then, feeling responsible for Sally's leaving.
It's understandable,
so then,
though, right? I mean,
Sure. And then he sat
yeah.
down, he says, and with a logical mind, he listed the areas where he felt short as far as women were concerned. Building up these things may not make your life work, Dan, I told myself, but it's the way to satisfy a woman.
Right. And, you know, just so everyone knows, the book, The Other Side of the Closet, The Coming Out Crisis for Straight Spouses and Families, is available at Amazon.com and at your local mm-hmm. Barnes & Nobles, too, right?
Any kind of local bookstore, and it changed publishers. It still should be John Wiley. It was,
mm-hmm.
and they sold it to Turner, but it's available, and it's full stories of the issues, and then I analyze them and show how to get through them.
Right. So basically, I mean, people can really find anything that they've really gone through and easily related to one of the letters or emails that you have in your book.
That's the other book. This is just
that's
whole
Unseen
stories.
Unheard.
Yeah, Unseen Unheard. That's the one where you can go and find out, oh my God, I'm in this stage where I don't know what I'm doing. I'm stuck in
mm-hmm.
the fort. I'm stuck here. And what have other people said about this?
Now, for the writing process between the two books, Was there a difference between what you were trying to write or how you approached it?
Mm-hmm. The Other Side of the Closet, I interviewed by phone or in person, I forget how many spouses, all over the country. and I transcribed all their stories. They were to answer 3-4 questions. How did you find out? How did you feel? What did you do about it? I guess 3 mm-hmm. questions. And so their stories, they told full stories, beginning, middle, and end. And then I analyzed them, and I pulled in all the research that was available at the time to explain how it works and how to get through it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the other side of the closet. Unseen, unheard, and the reason why I call it that is nobody pays attention to the straight spouses out there. So that this book traces their coping from their first cries of disbelief and horror and pain through the whole process, illustrated by emails and stories that I've picked up over the last 5 years.
Right. And for the work itself, do you feel like you fulfilled what you were trying to do with both books?
I don't know about the books. I know that the Straight Spouse Network, which is the support network of volunteers,
right,
who answer mm-hmm. the phone, run support groups, and get online and do that sort of thing, that is just working beautifully because of the support. I don't know how the book sales are fine, but
mm-hmm.
I'm so concerned that professionals don't know really much about this process, and
right,
the general public. For instance, with Bruce Jenner's coming out and now Caitlyn, all the attention is on him.
Right.
And on her, I mean. And her wife, well, what about her? Oh, well, she can
mm-hmm.
move on. It's a devastating experience.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, it's very true, and it's very evident that obviously Kris Jenner is not getting the attention.
No. And so I think I'm going to be doing an interview with her in 2 or 3 weeks. I hope I can. I hope people will listen, because it's very hard. You feel betrayed, but you also
mm-hmm.
feel screwed up. You know, I've lived in this life, and
right,
and it's harder, much harder for the spouse of a transgender, because not only is the gender, to change one's gender identity or gender expression and identity
mm-hmm.
means you are physically different, and that's very
right.
hard for the straight spouse. Very, very hard.
Absolutely. But again, anything can be done, truthfully. And, you know, it's something, too, though, that even I remember reading that the children of Bruce Jenner, you know, had very, you know, interesting recollections of things that they questioned at the time but didn't realize, obviously, you know, what it was going to lead to
mm-hmm.
today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember one little person I interviewed said, it was so hard for me to watch Dad with pearls vacuuming the living room rug.
Right.
It is hard, and there have been many stages of transgenderism. Some is simply dressing, and the other is changing your appearance, and the other is changing your sexual organs. So there's all different stages, but it's
right.
very, very hard, and so I'm hoping this work will help. I know the American Psychological Association has given me an honor. I'm not sure if it's as much that I've been supportive of them as it is of what I've been saying
right.
about the straight
That's
spouses.
Fantastic.
I just hard. It's just so hard.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I feel if the more I can push for equality and justice for LGBT people, the less likely they'll be forced into marrying someone of the opposite gender, and everybody gets hurt. Everybody gets
right.
hurt.
Right. So I want to clarify then. With the Straight Spouse Network, it's not just that you're supporting the straight spouse and what they're going through. Obviously, you always reiterate to me that at these group meetings, there's no gay or lesbian bashing. That is just completely
Absolutely.
Not acceptable.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the ACEP network, we have resources for couples trying to stay together, couples who have stayed together for years. We've got three support groups online for them. And these support groups are managed by a straight spouse network volunteer who makes sure there's no bashing and personal, you know, biting and bashing and that sort of thing. And we're also reaching out to spouses, reaching out through people like you so more people will know about us. Second mission is healing them. The third is advocating social equality and justice.
Right. And, you know, obviously with so many other things, you know, clearly we're not totally there yet where there's that equality among different viewpoints, obviously. I mean, everybody's born differently. You know, everybody strives to live a happy life, and whatever it is that makes you happy, you should be able to pursue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's so sad there are these conservative religious denominations, pockets, little country, rural, usually it's a rural population.
Sure.
Who just think this is, you know, has to be a man and a woman. And in all the studies, two men or two women raising a kid, the kids aren't any different. In fact, they're probably more understanding of differences and resilient than the kids of heterosexual parents.
Right. Yeah. And I think, again, it's something, you know, like you mentioned, it's just a matter of growing up with different experiences. It definitely makes you more open to different types of people and different scenarios that work. And so I was going to ask Amity, with everything amazing that the organization has done so far, and again, for all those just joining us, I'm with Amity Buxton of the Straight Spouse Network, and you can check out the website at straightspouse.org. And while we're coming down to the last couple of minutes here, what do you hope for in the future of the organization and, you know, all the work that you put into it? What are you looking to do?
Well, I'm hoping that the organization can get money enough to be out there in the limelight more than it is, so that more people can understand. Not everyone's going to listen to your wonderful interview. But I just would like to have more of that out there, and then eventually to have more legal and religious acceptance, affirmation of the validity of same-sex relationships.
Absolutely. And in terms of how you've built the organization so far, has it just been strong word of mouth?
No, it's through the web, and, yeah, through the web and, emailing, telephoning, we have gatherings every now and then, a regional gathering, spouses come, and publicity, a lot of folks, we were just recently in Dear Abby. Every now and then somebody will write in, and she knows us from way back. So on Thursday, we were in Beer Abbey, which brought in more telephone calls and emails, more emails. We get about five a day, which is more than we used to, and I hope it's because of some of these radio things like you're doing.
Sure, absolutely. And so as we're coming down now to the last minute here, Amity, what would you want people to know is most important when this first happens to them?
They are not alone. You are not alone. You can get through it, and if you want to, you and the marriage can last.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Absolutely. And like you've mentioned in the past, about one-third of each relationship really does last, though, right?
A third will last about 3 years, and a sixth will last forever.
Right.
But
well, Amity, I do want to
keep them close.
Absolutely. And Amity, I want to thank you for coming on today, And we will see you again in 2 weeks. So for everybody here at CMC Radio, this is Rob May saying we'll see you soon.
Thank you, Rob.
Bye-bye.